which I think the average person wouldn't say. Again, the average person, if you read this pasuk at face value, you would think that the meaning of the pasuk is sing to Hashem, you people, you human beings, the human beings who are living in Tzion. Tzion is another word for Yerushalayim. You shall sing to Hashem, and you, the people who live in Tzion, you shall declare, Hagidu declare among the nations, Ali lo yisaf is good eats. But that's not the way both Rashi and the Mitzvahs learn. They learn that the word Yoshev Tzion, again, is describing Hashem. Sing to Hashem. Who is Hashem? Who is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Well, there are many things that you can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the things you can say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has rested his divine presence in Tzion. It is a descriptive expression of Hashem.
What does the word Alilah mean?
Deeds, actions.
Deeds?
Yes, deed, actions.
What is Alilas Dom?
That's it.
Alilas Dom, right. That's a different word. And Alil, it means an excuse. It means an excuse.
So that's a maase. It's a deed.
A deed, but here it means a deed. So Alilas Dam, that means a deed of blood, is that what it means there also?
Blood.
I know it means a blood, but what's the literal translation? I always say libel. Alilas is a libel of Dam. So that's a different, that's not a deed.
It's an action.
I think it's a different word.
Or it's a shell hit a lot to the Mitzrayim.
Mak.
That's
it.
Yeah. I okay, I hear. So in this context, it means the deeds, actions. His mice and tovim. This little bit, because over here, I can't get the internet to work. I don't know what's going on here. I'll just give me 1 second over here. Something was wrong here. All right, let's see. Well, maybe we need some time to warm up. Might be time to get a new computer for this year. Here, in this pasuk, pasuk, Ali lo sof. Pasuk Yibay, the end of Pasuk Yibay. The end of Pasuk Yibay, it says, Vamim Ali lo yisaf. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yibay. Kidurish Damim Oysam. This is a very famous pasuk. Unfortunately, we say this pasuk often. He plagiarized. David's unbelievable. David plagiarized everything from the Siddur. From the Siddur, from all the Nusach HaTfilah, he's just amazing how much he plagiarism at its best. Okay, Kidoresh Damim Oysam Zohar, Loy Shochach Sakas Anovim.
Recording in progress.
Loy Shochach.
Very good.
Okay, I'm sorry, we had a hard time with the computer here today. We're in the middle. Mayor, where are you, Mayor? Mayor.
I'm keeping my distance.
Okay.
Good. Now keep
it mute. Okay. We're on Pasuk Yudgimel. Okay,
better straight than sorry.
Okay.
Put yourself on mute.
Okay, I accept.
You have a choice?
What? No, I don't have a choice. Most of life, you have no choice. There are no choices. All decisions are made for you. Pasuk Yudgimel. Ki doreish damim oisam zochor loy shochach tzakas anavim. Okay, now anavim. Notice, most people don't know this, that it's a kriv chsif. Okay, when you say this pasuk in afarachamim, you say this during a memorial service, the real way it's spelled is anim, the cry of the poor. But that's not the way we read it. That's the way it's spelled. But the way we read it is anavim. Anavim is a two of you. When you hear and share, you only one. Are you on the screen?
Double.
Okay, let's start. The cry of the poor or the out of the humble. Let's be very careful how we translate this pasuk. Maybe this pasuk we should spend with all the farshim because it's so critical. Pasuk. Let's see.
Humble,
yes, that's the way we read it. That is the way we read it. If you look in the gears, the way it's spelled is aniyim, the poor, but the way it is pronounced is anovim, the humble, and anov. Now let's see what it is in the mitzvah stuff. Ki doresh damim, ki hu doresh lodas adam. Hashem is doresh. Lodas, to know, hadam asher shafu hu mois, the blood that has been spilled by the nations of the world, uzichurim heim lefanov. They are continuously remembered before Hashem, im she'enoi mimaher lifro, even though Hashem is not swift to punish for the spilling of this blood. But be very careful how we translate this pasuk. Ki deresh damim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the subject of ki deresh is Hashem, of course. Hashem is the one that wants to know he there is a derisha.
Is the Urim, does it mean remember or mention?
Here, Uzuch means they're remembered. The way the Mitzvah Stavit is translated, okay, there are other many Purushim, but the way he learns here, Uzichurim Heim Lefanav, they are recalled, they are remembered. Hashem continuously is reminded. It is in his consciousness of what has happened, the blood that has been spilled. It's another form of the word, it's the same idea. Uzichurim Heim Lefanav, they are continuously remembered in his consciousness, in even though Hashem is not swift to punish. Don't just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is silent and allows people to get away with murder, it doesn't mean that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive them. They're not going to get away with this. Ultimately, they will suffer the consequences. So we read the pasuk again one more time. This all he says the mitzvah is David ki doresh damim kama. Okay, even though we have all the Tameh HaMikra, which put everything there together, we are really, according to the Mitzvah, going to break this up into two parts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a continuous state of wanting to know. He has a will to know the crime. What exactly happened? This it sounds very innocent, but it's not, because if you look around, you know, you talk to people, it's very interesting. Many people, they just don't want to know. There are crimes that are committed, and if you tell them, you know, what's going on is not correct. There's something wrong here. I don't want to know. Leave me alone. I'm too busy. I'm busy.
I don't
want to
deal with it.
I don't want to deal with it. It disturbs my equilibrium. I don't want to know.
You're better not to know sometimes.
What?
Better not to know. Is it?
Yeah, okay, sometimes yes. Sometimes yes, it is.
You get aggravated if you know.
You get aggravated, you're 100% correct. It depends. But let's just acknowledge a reality that there are many situations in life, in many, many different dimensions, where there are really big problems. And you're right, the people, what can I do? There's nothing I can do about it anymore. I have this. So what do I need to know for? What do you have to go aggravate me and tell me, and this, and this, and this, this? It's not in my hands anyway. So there is many situations where you tell people something, and you feel maybe you know it's important that they should know. No, this is resistance, an incredible resistance to know about wrongdoing. Let's say you're in an institution, you're working in this corruption. Or there, everyone, I don't have to give you examples. There's so many different examples we're talking about in the news, in the media, in politics, in your own personal life, when you work, in even in shuls, there's a problem here. We have to get down and realize there's a real problem, and if we don't take action now and solve the problem, things are gonna get worse. I don't wanna know. I want to be in denial. Over here, the pasuk says something very, very powerful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know. He does want to know. He's not like, okay, there was crimes committed. Okay, the Holocaust, go back, the Holocaust, 75 years. There's more information that needs to be uncovered. It needs to be now. I'm not interested. No, Hashem is doyresh damim. I want to know. You have evidence, you have proof, you have information. There's a new insight into what happened 100 years ago. I want to know. I really want to know. I'm thirsty for the information. It's something I don't think you have to appreciate that, because like you know, this is a theme which comes over again and again and again in the entire Tanakh.
Exactly.
Hashem is dorish. I want to know. I don't want it to be covered up. You cannot. Not emphasize enough times, many, many times in life, people just don't want to know about problems. They don't want to know. They're in denial. You tell them something that's not, doesn't fit their narrative. I don't want to hear. Leave me alone. Hashem is not like that. Hashem wants to know he is a doresh dummy. And then when Hashem discovers the evidence, he knows the truth, and Hashem is obviously just told in our terms, when it is revealed, wow, this is really corrupt. There's real corruption here. And Hashem does nothing. Don't think he does nothing because he can't do anything about it, he doesn't care. It's the time, it's not working on our timetable. Oysam Zohar. What is the word Oysam? The blood. What is the sub? This is the hard part of the pasuk. The hard part of the pasuk is the word Osam.
The victims.
Osam, okay.
Or
well, the blood. I think it means well, the blood. Uzichurim. I think he's going really with Osam. That's why this is very hard to translate very literally. Osam, look at the Gemara in the Mitzvot David. Ki hu doresh lodas adam, asher shafchu ha'umais, the nations. Uzichurim heim lefonav. What's heim? Heim is the word Osam. It would appear the blood, which is really a metaphor for all the crimes that have been committed.
It can mean being liable. The law of Harosha is liable. So
it's liability.
So those who are liable can be punished.
So you say the word oisam means the perpetrators,
yeah,
the criminals.
Based on domain, yeah.
So, right, so I mean, it's all the same. It all, everything leads to the same place, but on a very literal translation, what is exactly is the subject of the word oitzam? It would seem it's the blood. That's where at least the mitzvahs of it, and the blood represents the victims, and it represents the criminals, and it represents the fact that there must one day be mishpat for what has happened. But it's very hard to give a literal translation. Ki hu doresh ladas hadom. The blood, asher shavchu hu umois, uzichurim heim lefanav. What does the mitzudas mean with those words? They, what are they? The goyim, the umois, the criminals, maybe. The victims, maybe. Everything together, maybe. But give me a literal translation of the word oisam. I don't know. Rashi says very clearly, it says the blood. Okay, we'll get to Rashi one moment. Im sheim mar lefroy. Now let's see Rashi. Oisam zohar. What does Hashem remember? Es hadomim. The blood. Okay, the mitzvah stuff is not so clear. If you want to, the mitzvah stuff, you may be inclined to understand the word oisam means the criminals. The umay sa'oilam. The criminals. Lodas hadam asher shafchu hu umayis uzichurim heim. I don't know, maybe not. It doesn't really matter. But Rashi says the word oisam zochor es hadamim shenishbichu b'Yisrael. He does not forget. Zakas, the cry, anavim of the humble. Now let's learn a little bit more things, because this is a very important pasuk. I want to dwell. Two words. Excellent.
Right.
Excellent.
Loi
tishkach. Right. So what is the difference? This is a big topic in and of itself. What is the difference between the words remembering and do not forget? What exactly is the difference? It's a very, very big, hard topic. One interpretation I appeals to me is the word zochor means
it's a positive action.
Okay, and loy shachach means don't let it just. Okay, there are many interpretations. One idea, I'll give you an example. Okay, this appeals to me. The Chazal tell us that after 12 months, a mace is nishtakach min halev. Ask the average person if they really deep down feel it's true.
No.
They'll tell you adarab. As time goes on, it gets worse and worse. You remember them even more, and then not nishtakach min halev, and It's even more intense when a person first loses a relative, someone, they're in shock, they're in denial. Dennis Wilber used to come to Shia, he used to tell me the different stages of how it goes. There's a whole set in psychology, the world of psychology, they have it down to a science of how the mind works. First there is shock, then there is denial, then there's guilt, then there's acceptance, and a healthy person goes through a whole. You can't prevent this from happening. It's part of the human condition to be in shock, and that shock can last for years. And then there is denial. Didn't happen. Can't be. And then after there's denial, there's guilt. I caused it to happen. I didn't do enough, this. And then it comes to a certain point with this acceptance. With acceptance, I don't like this. He once told me there's a whole shalshelet hadvarim. And Dennis Wilbur, he used to come to the shul. Dennis Wilbur, he's a psychologist. A professional psychologist.
If you don't go through those steps, you have trouble.
Exactly. So the goal of a psychologist is to help you to accelerate. To accelerate the steps. To go through a couple of sessions, what a good psychologist can do for you, he can accomplish for you in a couple of weeks. So it would ordinarily take years.
For closure.
To get to that closure. Exactly. Take years. He can push you through those steps. Bring to your consciousness things that you not that subconsciously are affecting you, and accelerate the process to bring closure. So this is the now. Why am I telling this? Because here's the thing I want to tell you. So if I just teach you, how could it possibly be that a person, the Chazal can say after one year you forget about a person? It's not true. It's plainly not true. You don't forget about a person. It goes on for years and years. Here's the difference. This is amazing. When a person is young, make believe you have a young boy. Oh, soon it's going to be my bar mitzvah. Okay, what's going to be by my bar mitzvah? My father is going to get shlishi. I'm going to get maftir. And my mother is going to be cheering me on from the ladies section. And she'll open the curtain and smile at me. And then we're going to have a bar mitzvah. And my mother's going to take me to the store to buy me a black hat and a new suit. When you think about the future, you think about your parents. Wedding. Oh, now I'm 18 years old. I'm going to get married. Oh, I can't wait to get married. I have a big party. And I can see myself going down the chuppah. And I see on the right side, I see my father. And I see going on the left side, my mother. And you see your future with your parents, with your children. This person's going to make a simcha. Oh, I have a child. My son, I have a 10-year-old son. He's gonna a 10-year-old. He's gonna march down the aisle when I marry off my daughter, or this that. When you look into your future, into your personal future, you see your loved ones with you in the future. When Rachman looks at a person lose a loved one for 1 year, when he looks, the living person looks into his own future, he still automatically sees his family, that person that he lost with him. Person as a parent, past parents. And let's say one of his parents passes away. For the next year, he keeps on, okay, I'm going to marry off my daughter soon, my son, I'm going to have a simcha, this, in the summertime, we're going to go to Bone Colony, and my father's going to be there. No, he's not. He passed away. Passed away. That's right. Okay, go 6 months later. Okay, soon we're going to Florida for vacation. My parents come with us. Wait a minute. He's not here anymore. He's not going to come with us. When a person looks into the future, it still lingers. The relative that you love, he will be there with you in the future. After a year passes, it's the shtakach min halev. You no longer see that relative with you in your future. After 1 year, and this is true, after 1 year, if you're planning to make a simcha, and ordinarily you would include in that plan of what you're going to do, someone that's part of you, you no longer think of him in being in the plan, because he's nishtach min halev into the future. But thinking back what you lost, that lingers forever. Zohar is planning ahead. Zohar eis asher osa lucha amolek. Zohar, no, all the way around. Zohar means the past. Loi tishkach, when you move ahead, Klal Yisrael, and you go into your future, plan to do something in your personal future to remember what they did to you in the past. Ordinarily, nishtakach min halev means thinking ahead. What they did in the past, you'll never forget. But what's the nafkamina is that when you plan forward, do you still take into account what's missing? Ordinarily, after 1 year, you don't. When it comes to Amalek, don't forget. Don't forget that when you move forward, that remembrance that what happened in the past should always be with you. So, yeah, that's only one period. There are many periods now. Okay, I don't want to dwell on this now. Let's.
By the way, this week is the real type of mind. First wife.
So we'll learn Zerah Mishmasa. Yeah.
Zerah Mishmasa. I have another explanation. The tsa'ar shel aveda mishtakach min alev. The aveda itself never.
But the tsa'ar.
I'm telling you.
Never. 100%. That's what I said. I told you. That's why it's a very difficult chazal. I told you. That's why the chazal is someone after 1 year of the shachar and aleif. It's not true. So what does it mean then? It means something very deep. It means something different. So you're saying it's the tzar. I don't know. I think a lot of people will tell you the tzar also doesn't go away. Right. So you're saying there's a chiddush to deal with aveda and the tzar, but I'm not coming to disagree, but there are many people that will argue that tsar rules doesn't go away.
Okay, I think I'd suggest another possibility. A lot of times you see something is repeated for focus. I don't know necessarily have to say it's different. Zohar lo shachar was an emphasis here. It's repeated poetically in different ways. It's basically saying, it's repeating the focus that this is something that is, that focuses on that aspect. Zohar or Lo Shabbat.
What are you, not different.
I'm saying it's not
it's
different.
The same thing. It's just an emphasis.
It's repetition. You see a lot
poetic
of words.
Poetic,
so a lot of times, okay. Words are repeated.
Okay, that's
repeated
the debatable thing.
You can't say Zohar. Say Zohar, Lo Tishbat.
Poetic repetition.
You're putting an emphasis on it. So this is something serious. It's not going to be forgotten. It's going to be remembered.
That's what the Mitzvah does as many times. Poetic repetition. Okay, let's dwell upon this a little bit more because it's a very important part. Let's look at the Radak. The book of the Radak will be a Kiddush Damim. Pasuk 79. On page 79, Kiddush Damim. Hakel Shudorish Dumeicho Aniyim. Miyad O Shikehem. On page 7 on the Radak, in the Radak on the top, the Radak. Hashem, who is Doresh. He seeks out the blood of the poor people, miyad oy shekehem, from their oppressors, their tormentors, people who take advantage. The poor are always taken advantage of. Zohar oy sam, Hashem remembers damim sheshafchu pilishtim biYisrael. The Radak over here focuses on the Pshutishol Mikra, but certainly the Pilishtim, and Hashem does not, the Jewish people, he appears, he's describing over here the Jewish people as the poor. They were very poor. And the Pilishtim?
Golgas.
Okay, going back, okay. So therefore, okay, that goes back to the very beginning, okay. And Hashem does not forget what the Pilishtim did. So immediately the Radak reminds us that there's a kri v'chsiv, the poor and the humble. What are we going to do here? Ksiv yud v'chibivav v'ki ho anavim heim kemoho aniyim v'hachaloshim b'roif. Ki ho aniyim v'hachaloshim anavim kemoho aniyim. Now, that's a very, it's not always the case. Not always the case. People that are very poor are very humble. You would think, right? Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes people that are very poor are very arrogant. Why? They have to compensate. At least they have to have something in this world, right? So, okay, there's obviously more to this. Let's take a look over here at the Malbum. It's just a very important pasuk. Short Malbum your key. Kidoresh Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Malbum on page 78. Kidoresh Dan Moisim Zohar Ritzav Lema Oysam Es Ho Amin. You see, he's learning not like Rashi and Radak, that the subject of the word Oysam is not the blood, but it's the perpetrator, the criminal. It's the Pelishtim, the enemies who have spilled the blood. Ritzav Lema Oysam Es Ho Amin Rak Doresh Damim Rak Doresh Damim Zohar. Lo zicharam rach mitzashuhu doresh damim hanishbachim. He doesn't seek out because rach mitzashuhu doresh damim hanishbachim. Adam yazkir oisoy lasos mishpat ladam asher shufach. The blood is Yaskir Oisoi. Now he's saying an entirely different interpretation. It's the blood that speaks up. This is what it says. It's obviously going back to Bereishis. That his blood of your Ayehevelokicha. His blood, what's the pasuk? Is crying out. Nei achicha soyakim alai min ho adama. The blood of your brother is screaming, is calling out to me from the earth.
So,
what? Damim.
Dnei
achicha soyakim alai min ho adama. The blood of your brother is crying out to me. So according to, this is what the Malam appears to be doing. This is unlike everyone else. Everyone else over here says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the blood is silent. The blood is an inanimate object. Blood, the neshama is in Shemayim. What's the blood? You know, the ki adam hu nefesh. Okay, fine. And over here you're getting into real, very philosophical, mystical concept. Is there a neshama that lingers in the blood? We always say, you know, that you put the blood of an animal on the mizbeach. How does this work? We have no idea what this all means. Ki adam hu nefesh. Is a key of chorus for a person to drink the dam hanefesh. A very severe penalty for a person to consume blood. The dnei to consume blood. It's a very, very severe penalty. Because there's something about blood. What exactly is it? Well, over here, it appears that the Malbim is working with the principle that in blood, it's a mystical idea, there is something supernatural. There is a neshama. And when the blood of a human being is lying on the ground, that blood alone has a life to it, and that life speaks, and it speaks to Hashem and demands justice. And the blood calls to Hashem. Let's read the words of the Malbim. Those people who are the Osam Esa'amin, Rak. Only Doirish Damim Zohar. Now what does that mean exactly? He explains. Loy Zicharam. He doesn't remember the nations of the world. The wicked nations. Rak Mitzachahu Doirish Damim Hanishbachim. It's not just because of Kadosh Baruch Hu on his own remembers. Ein Shikha Lifnei Chisei Chivodecha. But instead, the Hadom Yazkir Oisoi Lasos Mishpat Ladom Asher Shufach. The blood itself reminds Hashem. The blood speaks. The blood is reminding. Avul Tzakas Anovim Loy Shochach Klau. The Eloi Mamtin Asher Yazkireu Domom Hanishpach. But the Anovim, Hashem doesn't need to be reminded. Hashem on his own takes the initiative. He's saying something that is so deep, it's beyond belief what he says over here. There are two, according to the Malam, there are two different victims in this pasuk. There's a victim who is a wealthy person. Wealthy doesn't mean anything wealthy. It means a person of prestige, of chashivah. And then there is a victim in the category called an oni, or an onaf. When a person is a victim of a crime and he is not in this category of an oni or an onaf, so then Hashem knows. There's nothing that escapes Hashem, but Hashem is not so swift to punish. Hashem arranged in such a way that if you want the nishpa to be accelerated, you gotta remind Hashem. You gotta remind. No one's denying the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Atzur Tamim Poloki Chol Berachav Mishpat Kel Emuna Ve'Novel. Ultimately, there will be justice for everyone. But what it appears he's saying is if you want an accelerated Mishpat, then you have to step up and remind Hashem. You have to call out and say to Hashem, Hashem, this is not fair. Now, is that proper to do? That's a whole different story. That's a whole different schmooze of when a person should, who's been a victim, when it's appropriate for him to demand justice. That's a whole, justice, you're entitled, that's a whole different schmooze. But he's saying an idea. The blood calls out to Hashem, and then Hashem accelerates his mishpat. But an onav, an oni, a person who is a poor, humble person, who is a victim, you don't have to do nothing. Hashem on his own immediately takes action. Two different victims are presented in the pasuk. Ki doresh, Hashem is a doresh when the damim oisam zochar. Read how he's reading words. Oisam is when the blood, you have to read it backwards, when the blood calls attention to the criminal. When the blood, read it backwards, when the damim, when the spilled blood speaks, the blood is a human being. There's a neshama in that blood. When that blood raises its voice and reminds Hashem, Zohar, about Osam, about the Umay Sa'olam, the wicked people, then Kidoresh. Hashem springs into action, which implies that if the spilled blood on the ground is quiet, doesn't have any complaints, Hashem is not, be very careful now, should be out of courses, Hashem does not, he's not the Doresh, meaning he's not going to do it today. I'll do it on my time. I have a different time schedule. He's only, so we take the word Doresh to mean an accelerated Mishpat. When will there be an accelerated Mishpat? It's when the Damim, the blood, Osam Zohar. He reminds Hashem of the Umay Sa'olam were the criminals. Oh, you're reminding me? Okay. I'm now going to be a Derish. I'm going to accelerate, put your case in the front of the line. But what about an Oni or an Ona who is a victim? You don't have to remind me. You can say nothing. And I, on my own, will spring into action and do mishpat. This is powerful stuff. Okay, you touch it, because according to Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak, this pasuk is just like Mordechai said, poetic repetition. Poetic repetition. There are two clauses in this pasuk, and they say the same thing. They say that Hashem, he wants to know about crime. Hashem is an investigator, he's a detective. This is his business. Hashem is a doresh damim. And Oysam Zohar, he knows. Just because you don't see the case, you don't see Mishpat being exercised, right, it doesn't mean.
It's interesting to note that another slant on this is that the Malbim is learning, he's splitting Zohar for Gol Shochar. He's learning Zohar is Kiderish Dom, that the Dom that they spilled will be remembered to punish them. End of one thought. Go Shochat Sasanovim, forever they'll be remembered.
But they're saying more, the Malbim is saying more, the Malbim is saying.
No, but I think you hear what I'm saying?
The Malbim seems to be saying
that. That's an important point. He's splitting, we were talking, you know, Zohar and Lo Shochat.
Right,
he's
exactly
saying that clearly. Zohar is talking
so
about
how is the Malbim
the Dom will be remembered to be punished. And then end the story. Once they're punished, they're going to be, you know, basically thinking, you know, I'm not going to remember them anymore. Goodbye. Goodbye. I'm going to remember them to punish. That's what he's saying. But then he's saying, Lo Shochar Klal, but the Tzachas and Ovum will never be forgotten.
Right, so I'm trying to explain, the Malbim is saying the word Zohar is a participation. There is a participation.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm talking about a different slant on it.
Okay, fine.
He's splitting, we didn't see before. He's splitting Zohar and Lo Shochar. He's saying that clearly. You
know? Okay, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's
what
okay.
He's saying, right.
Let's look at the Amar
Chazal. Under the Zohar.
What?
Is
it
under the Zohar?
That's true.
I said,
Ani Chashuv Kemet.
Ani Chashuv
Kemet. So in a way, Hashem Katuv, Yizach Shamoa Shmatza Katuv. But Batuma it says, Ani, if you do something to Ani, Lo Tachvol, whatever it is there.
Shamoa Shmatza Kosoi.
Et Aniim, Gamken. So here is a Doresh Damim is a title Shel Hashem. Hashem, he is a Doresh Damim. Like Yisrael, or Ohev Israel, his title.
It's a term, right, we're describing Hashem.
Zohar, who Zohar, Gamet Adamim, and also the what was done to the Aniim. In the Holocaust, There were many, many rich people, and they stripped them from everything. Take everything, take off, even the clothing that you have on yourself, even the teeth, the golden teeth, nothing. Aniyim, otam Hashem zocher, lo shachach. Aniyim.
They were right. They were reduced to poverty. I mean, it was a
to nothing.
Horrific.
Maybe the reducing to poverty is a punishment for something else. It's a consequence.
We're not in the business of
You're saying that this has to be, this judgment has to be. God has to punish the people for committing this crime. But maybe the crime was a punishment for something the person did before.
Okay, that's a whole different topic of
discussion.
But that's not our business. We're not in the business of passing judgment. Why not? That's a dangerous game. All right, let's. We're holding on page 78, Perek Mizmar Tas Pasuk Yud Gimel. Look at the Mar Chazal. Look at the Maimon Chazal. The Maimon Chazal says, "Okay, Kidoresh Dal Mosim Zochol Lo Shchach Tzagas Anavim Ein Mazkirin Betilas Musaf Shol Rosh Hashanah Pesuki Zichroim Malchus Veshoyf Shol Puranus." Okay, this is a very important point. We know that on Rosh Hashanah we recite 30 Pesukim, 10 Pesukim from Malchios, 10 from Zichroinos, 10 from Shoyfas. The number 30 is a critical number in Malchus. Yosef was 30 years old when he became the Mishnah Lamelech. There are a lot of examples of the number 30 related to Malchus, and we use that number on Rosh Hashanah, the number 30, by reading in the Nusach HaTfilah 30 psukim describing Hashem, broken down into three parts, 10 for Malchus, 10 for Zichronus, 10 for Mshaifas. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah elaborates upon this three psukim from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, three from Ksuvim, and then we go back to a pasuk from Chumash. And which pasuk should we select? So there are many psukim, right? There are many psukim discussing Malchus, Shoifa, Zichroinos. And when it comes to Zichroinos, can we use the pasuk? What are the rules of which pasuk we can use for Zichroinos? Why didn't Chazal select this pasuk to be one of the 10 pesukim for Zichroinos? It's a very good pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers. So why? The answer is this pasuk is a pasuk of Puranos. And even though the Puranos is for the Umay Sa'ilam, it's a remembrance of evil, of punishment for the Goyim, our enemies. This itself is a Musar. It's a very powerful Musar, what this pasuk is saying. We don't take advantage of someone else's suffering, even of the Goyim, when we are trying to find favor in Hashem's eyes. On Rosh Hashanah, we're trying to get on Hashem's good side. I have a friend, he's not so well, this person. I speak to him every so often. He's a very sick person. And he has this fascination of, like, a mayor does, you know, mayor, you hear? Mayor, don't say anything. Why? But every day he announces the yard sites. He announces the yard site. This person I know, he does the same. He goes, he looks up all the yard sites, and he actually gets a hold of their svarim. People who wrote svarim, not everyone wrote svarim, and he learns them. He learns a passage. Today's of Desla's yard sites. I spoke to him last night. So he told me today he's going to spend time learning Michtav Me Eliyahu. Why? He says to me, I want to get on his good side. I want him to be for me a Melitz Yosha. And then the next thing he tells me, today is this year, I'm going to learn a passage. Okay, to each his own.
I think he's absolutely right.
There's something to it. When you learn someone's Chidushim, their lips murmur in the grave, whatever that means.
This Shabbos is Mirror Rav Sheshiva is outside.
Rav Nassi Finkel?
Yeah.
Rav Nassi Finkel. You want to get... Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum.
This Shabbos.
Right? I want to get on his good side. I want to get on his good side. So over here, we are trying to get on Hashem's good side on Rosh Hashanah by saying Pesukim to the Ma'at of Zichroinos. We don't take advantage of our enemies and say a pasuk that Hashem you remember when the pasuk describes the downfall of our enemies, even though they deserve it. And halavai, they should get a lot more. They should get what they deserve. But we don't take advantage of someone else's suffering for our advantage to get on Hashem's good side. We need to cut on Hashem's good side by saying, reciting 30 psukim that highlight Hashem's power, and 10 of those psukim are the koyach of zikorin, that nothing is forgotten by Hashem. But Chazal tells us, don't recite this pasuk. The pasuk in Mizmor Tes, pasuk Yud Gimel, don't you dare. Don't use this in your list of 10 psukim on Rosh Hashanah to get on Hashem's good side when you're a pasuk that mentions the downfall of your enemies. That's not the right, even though it was yesterday's daf Gemara. In yesterday's daf, it says, the mice with Haman. Haman says, "Binafol Haman, Mordechai could not get enough koyach to get on the horse. He was weak. So Haman says, Haman, get on your back. Stepping stool. So it wasn't enough that Mordechai stepped on him. He gave him a kick. So Haman said, doesn't it say, Binafol Oidecha al Tismach? Mordechai said, that's only the Jews, members only. But for the Umay Sa'ilam, Adraba, Al Bamay Secha Tidrech, you'll step upon their high places. You're the leader, you're the greatest of the Goyim, I'll step on you. Al Adraba. That's not a contradiction to this Chazal. Okay? Even though there it says that Al Bamay Secha Tidrech, still there's a time and place for everything. And this Chazal says that in Rosh Hashanah, don't recite this pasuk.
Because who says only Goyim murder? God forbid. Jews also, unfortunately.
Okay, you're saying also that the Jews over here also are nichlal in this. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Unfortunately, there are Jews also that are self-hating Jews. There's no one that hates Jews like a self-hating Jew. According to Chassam Soif, for Haman was basically a Jew. Because Haman was an Eved Kanani for Mordechai, which the Chassam Soif, I'm not making this up, and therefore it has to be that Mordechai took Haman, put him in the mikvah, and did about him a bris milah. The Hermes did a bris milah and told him, Yechayiv, to observe the mitzvahs ki isha, Shabbos, everything, kosher. So basically, he was a Jew. He was an Amaleki who became a Jew. That's what Chassam Sofer says, because he's an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani, Chayiv in Tzvila, Kabbalah san mitzvahs ki isha. He knew everything. He knew a lot. You know, yesterday someone said over the desk, very, 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 very thing. Mibnei Bonav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Barak. Right? Haman's Einiklach. They learned Torah Bibnei Barak. Mm-hmm. How could that possibly be? How could that be such a rush? So, I'll tell you the standard. What's the run of the mill answer? The standard answer is, I don't like this answer. I'm not, who me, might not to say I don't like it. This answer doesn't, just, it needs more explanation. Well, the standard answer you're going to get for this is, since at the end of the day, it's only because of Haman that Klal Yisrael got together, Leich Knois Kol HaYehudim, and they did Teshuvah, and for generations there's been an incredible Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and incredible things have come out of the Yom Tov Purim. So even though Haman's Kavana was to obliterate us, but the bottom line is, he was instrumental. So mitzad echad, Arur, Haman, Zeresh, but mitzad sheni, Hashem does not deny any good deed, and since at the end of the day he was instrumental, so therefore, even though he was obliterated from the existence, so the nitzotz of kedusha he was responsible for goes down to his children. All right, that's a very...
Where it says, Klal Yisrael, for all the 24 the Neviim, they didn't do tshuva.
By taking off the tabas.
Israel, they right. Did it,
Someone said to me yesterday something very, very powerful. It really, really shocked. Another says, read the Gemara, yesterday's Zaf Gemara. What happened with Haman? Haman comes into the Beis Medrash. Achashverosh says to him, no one hated the Jews more than Haman. That's a fact. And all of a sudden the tables are turned. Achashverosh says, go get this Jew, Mordechai, and parade him in the streets. Give him COVID. So he comes to the Beis Medrash, and he's giving a shir. All the Talmidim are, could you imagine the Kavod Shemayim? Mordechai, some say, was a Navi, he was Malachi, the Gemara says. Yesh Oimim, that Mordechai was Malachi. A Navi, the last Navi. The Kedusha, he's giving a shir. Can you imagine the Maimad The Maimon was like, my good convention. He was giving a shir. See, that was the advantage of me going. I warned this guy. You let me go to the Aguda convention for free with you. I'll have litzanis for doiris. If the Aguda would have known, they would have never let me go near New Jersey that day. I shouldn't be able to go. We gotta make all this litzanis for years, right? I told him in advance. This is a dangerous thing you're doing. Now, so what happened over here? So he goes there. He hears a shkiu. Imagine with the maimon. Haman sat the whole shir. He sat there in the beis medrash the whole shir. He waited.
He also waited for Mordechai to finish.
And then he began to daven. He waited for him to finish Shmona Esrei. He then went and he was mishamesh Talmud Chacham. He went. He took him to the bathhouse, and he cleansed him. He gave him a haircut. He then paraded him in the streets. He bent down. The Gemara talks about one of the Amorayim who went and gives the ultimate kibud avo aim. What did she do? Exactly what Haman did. When the Gemara wants to highlight at kama at heichon kibud aim, how far does it go? The Gemara talks about an Amora who managed it exactly what Haman did. Got down on the floor as a stepping stool. Retired from the Tana. He got down on the floor as a stepping stool for his mother.
That was Tanina.
He said a retirement.
Antonina's for Rebbe.
Also, Antonina's so can you imagine? And here, Haman did all these things. He sat through a whole shir, and he was in a foul ball with him. After the shir was over, he had kashas. He went and became a Talmud. He started talking. Yalkamitz, the skull, and the guy, he learned the whole shir, the whole sugya. And then he waited for him. You know what it means to wait for a person? That's a big thing. Who's going to know people who have no patience for nothing? You have to wait by a red light, you go out of your mind. Okay, he waited for him. He waited for the Shemona Esrei. He was mishamesh by cleaning him, giving him a haircut, got that on the floor. He could be a stepping stool. These are not simple things. And he saw the Kvod Shemayim of Mordechai HaYehudi, who was a Navi according to some. He was the Reish HaSanhedrin. Give a share. Could you imagine the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, what he witnessed? People who went to the Siyam HaShas, the Goyim. You hear they have interviews, they have full reports in the newspaper of the impression it made upon them. Who's not to say that these actions and the impression that he saw made a roshim on him, where there was a teeny, teeny, teeny little dose of appreciation of the Kvod Shemayim, and although he was toast because of his rishus, and he was obliterated from existence, but that teeny mitzvahs of what he witnessed and the impression he must have made and how he was mishamesh a Talmud Chacham, who said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't deny reward for that. And where did that reward go to? B'nei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah B'nei Barak.
Yeah, well, by the way, he had all his children before this incident.
Okay,
because
but
the next day he was hanging.
So you're asking, it's too late. Okay, that's a question. That's a question, but it's not. There's a dimension of spirituality that we don't appreciate. This var that he told me to me personally is much more appealing than the standard var that you hear all the time. Since ultimately he was instrumental, what that bothers me about that approach is, if your intent is for riches, you're a Russia. Don't go tell me what's going to be. Oh, you're instrumental. The bottom line is, you had no goodwill. What are you? You're a Russia, Russia, Russia. So because since Klal Yisrael did the Teshuva, excuse me, so what? So what? You're a Russia. A Russia is a Russia. Don't tell me. This is a little bit different because this over here is, he had an experience. He had a first-hand experience. And he was mishamish him in a very dignified way, which is hard for us to understand. But then he was forced, this, that. I don't know. It's something which requires a lot of. It's a dangerous game. This is very sensitive stuff. Who could be moichal? Who has even a right to be moichal? Russia, Hitler, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Eichmann, Mengele. You have a right to be moichal. Who are you to be moichal? Who are you to be moichal? Chol Klal Yisrael. The torture. Halacha biyadua Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach.
There's nothing there that triggered it.
Anti-Semitism has been is a study that you could fill up a whole room with volumes of an attempt to understand what is the source of anti-Semitism. It's a whole different shmooze. What is? Why do they hate us? Why do they hate us?
It's
what they stole the. Many reasons.
Sinai.
What?
Har Sinai.
Sinai. The Bechora. Yaakov purchased the Bechora from Esav. He stole the brachos by And then there's a lot more. Anti-Semitism. Sometimes we're to blame. Unfortunately, our behavior is not exactly proper. Okay, and we provoke them because Jews are successful, and you flaunt your wealth and your power. Okay, anti-Semitism is big topic. Why they hate us? But they hate us.
I think I read this. The rabbi is a nephew, a great nephew of Hitler, who was a guy
who went to. Yeah, look. He Ezra's online here. Ezra Fried. Ezra Fried is in contact with a group of children of the SS, of Nazis, who are ashamed of their parents. He has incredibly, he has a message, he was, maybe one day, maybe you should play for us, the Nichum Avelim. He has a person whose father was an SS officer who committed his grandfather committed the most horrific crimes that you could imagine, and his grandson.
His mother's grandfather built the electrical system in the gas chambers in Auschwitz.
Yeah, built the electrical systems, and this grandson sent him a voice message over WhatsApp of Nichum Avelim. You want to play it for us? Maybe not now. Another time. No.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Can you imagine played Nichum Avelim? If you really dwell upon it, it's mind-boggling, the whole thing. And that's a minority. Don't Mr. Neiman, Rabbi Neiman, that's a minority. This is not not your typical. Don't worry, they hate us. Don't want to get caught in the dark alley with the grandchildren of the Nazis. But this is a Yotzei Min HaKlal. But there's a group of people. He's in contact with a group of people who are ashamed of the behavior of their grandparents. And on the other hand, you have Jews. The Kapos. I told you that's what they're flipping. Okay, the kapos. Not every kapos is the same. You have to know every. And you can't generalize about anything in this world. All right, let's go from over here. Let's just over here. So this is the Maal. The Maal over here is really incredible. The Maamar Chazal. I want to read the Maamar Chazal. I'm going to page on page 79. This is a very critical Maamar Chazal. Ki dorei shtam osam lo osam zochor lo shchan sakas anavim ein mazkirin betilas musaf shol Rosh Hashanah pesukei zichroin umalchus v'shoifa shol puranus that discuss punishment. Why not? Zichroin, because you don't take advantage.
So in other words, you're saying, or he's saying, remembrance only in the positive.
Correct. Don't take advantage. Don't, it's like, don't elevate yourself. We're trying to find favor in Hashem's eyes in Rosh Hashanah. Don't try to find favor by mentioning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zoicher, has the koyach of zichroin, by putting down human beings. They'll get what they deserve. Don't worry, they'll get what they deserve. But don't elevate yourself over the koloin of chaveiro, even the rishon. That's a very powerful idea. There's a lot to be said about this. Is putting down people. Okay, putting. I once was watching some type of thing and. There was a certain person that was, a certain very well-known figure. A very well-known figure. And there was another person who was very, very critical of this person. For two reasons. Number one, he says that this person always says that anyone that disagrees with me is an idiot. is a nincompoop. And they are like, I know, and I'm telling everyone what is correct, and I'm telling everyone what you should do. But there is a chiluke deos. There are other people who disagree with me.
There's competition to me.
And he says outright, these people, they're not worth anything. They don't tell me they're professionals. They're not. They're not professionals. They're nobodies. He's bittle. And there was a very smart person who says, that is not a person you should listen to. That's not a derech. It's not a derech to promote your to promote your expertise by putting down other people. You stand on your own. You stand on your own. You have the credentials. You have the insight. You're a brilliant person. You know what you're saying. We'll listen to you. It is not necessary for you to put down other people. And if you're putting down other people, that's a problem. That is a very disturbing, something that's very disturbing. And it affects at least this person. Other people disagree. They couldn't get. He felt, you know, I have to take a step back and really worry about what I, or really recalibrate how I want to proceed. Because if this is the authority, that's not authority. But a real authority stands on his own without putting down other people. On Russia, this Maimer Chazal says exactly that. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to elevate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to get on his good side. And Chazal warn us, do not get on Hashem's good side by praising Hashem, by putting down anyone, even the worst of the worst, even the Rishoyim. Don't do that. That's not a mahalach. If you're good, you're good. You stand on your own. You know, in politics, every time there's an election, there's, you know, the dirty, there's always the, is, how do politicians promote themselves? So you try to start off nice. You try to start off, you know, I have these are my beliefs and values and what I promote. And then when you see the polls are not in your favor, then become a smear campaign. Then you go down the path, let's dig up dirt on the other party. When it gets to that point, we're in a lot of trouble. When the whole campaign of both parties is just who can dig up more dirt on the other person.
Very early they're digging up dirt.
That's already, it used to take a long time. It used to be years ago.
It used to be
the very end, it got like that. Now that's how they start.
I saw a part from Chabad Chaim, the difference between a Yid and a guy. He said by Yid, he had a terrible problem, whatever, a great challenge. He goes to Rebbe and he asks for a blessing.
Yeah.
You see, by Balak, he goes to Bilam.
Curse. Exactly. See, he's saying very, very good. You see the difference? Balak had a problem with Jewish problems, so what do? You hire someone to curse them. What happens with the curse them? Okay. Done. All right, this is a very important pasuk. We spent time on this pasuk. I'm very happy we spent time on this pasuk.
What's the dog's name, Bubba?
Okay, let's see. Let's just start a little bit. One Yudal, I remember this pasuk. I remember as three nuns. This is a favorite pasuk for people of the trivia people.
Yeah.
They love this pasuk.
I have a
piece
on it.
Cha ni neini. Okay, the trop, I don't even know what this trop is. This is the special trop from Til Emes, Sifrei Emes. Emes is Iyov, Mishlei, and Tilim. Three Sephardim and Tanakh have their own musical notes, their own cantillation. And you see over here, what looks like a munach on top of a nun. Nowhere in the Chumash is there any such thing in the other of a musical note of putting a munach on top of a nun. So this is part of this unique. System of melody, and by the way, that automatically makes us very confused as to where to break up the words of the pasuk, because the Tamei HaMikra, obviously, they provide a commentary. The way you break up the words in the pasuk, that itself is a commentary, and when you don't even know the Tamei HaMikra, how they operate in these three sfarim, I'm sure there is a system to it, then you know you're losing out on one of the commentaries. Like I have a very hard time with the Targum.
So they have a line after Hashem.
Well, besides that's a psik. That's a separate. Okay, that we have. But look at the nun on top of the nun. On top of the nun is a munach on the top. And never ever have that. And also then there's the kadam on Hashem's name. Okay, wait, let's see. Chod nineni, three nuns. The letter nun is a very, very important letter in the Jewish alphabet, because it has no peer. has no peer. When you divide up the letters,
the nun stands alone.
The nun stands alone. What do we mean in the system? There's a system of gematrias where you match up the digits, what we call the digits, which aleph through tes. Aleph through tes, the first nine letters, each one, you match up the aleph to the tes. The beis goes with the ches. The gimel goes to the zayin. The dalet goes to the vav. What about the hey? It's all alone. The hey is a loner. Now you go to the decimal. You match up the yud, 10, with 90, with the tzadi. Match up the vav with pay, with 80. You match up lamed, 30, with ayin, with 70. Match up mem, 40, with samach, with 60. What about the nun? It's all alone. It's a loner. It's a loner. So what do Chazal do? They take these two loners, the hey and the nun, and they bring them together. And they make the word hein.
Right.
And hein means all alone. Hein levadad.
Hein am levadad
yishkoin. Levadad means all alone. And the way we introduce it, they're being all alone, is the word hein. Because hein, the letter hey, the letter nun, are letters which stand alone. That is why also, that is why in
I think it works in the three-digit numbers too.
The three-digit numbers are
the
so what? Okay, yeah, and also.
I
don't know. We have to look. My mind is very, very. I have to prepare this thing. Okay, but let's go to the Vayih Parashas Vayihi bin Soy Haroin.
By the way, here in Tachanun, we also says, Honeni Hashem Kimlal Ami. There you have a dagesh on the nun.
As
dagesh
two nuns.
Means two nuns.
Two nuns, exactly.
So
very
there
good.
It's a shvana.
It's a shvana.
It's a shvana.
Honeni.
Here's a shvana.
Very good, very good. Okay, you say, well, I will go back in one second. I'll come back. That's a fantastic point you make. Fantastic. But first, over here, let's just point out the word, the nun stands all alone. Where do we find it standing all alone? By Parshas Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin Vayoy Be Moshe. Parshas is a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai. And the Atkade Kach, the Chazal said that we really have seven books in the Torah. Seven books, because Chumash Bamidbar is really three books. Until Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin, it's one book. Vayihi bin Soy is the second book, and everything after Vayihi bin Soy to the very, very end is the third book. So there are three books in Bamidbar plus the other four books, so a grand total of seven, and that they correspond to the seven branches of the menorah. And they're more Chavtzu Amodeha Shiva. Hashem chiseled out, he quarried its pillars, seven. Some learn this refers to, there are many perushim as to what that means, but in Midrashim refers to the seven books of the Torah. And how do we show that Vayihi bin Soya is a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai? Which letter was selected to be the symbol? The letter Nun. The letter Nun, which is an inverted letter Nun in the beginning and an inverted at the end, which is symbolic. Those two Nuns separate to indicate that this is a Parsha Bifnei Atzmai. So now when you have over here the word Cho Nineni Hashem, Chain is, we know what the word, Chain is, it's a hard word to translate, it means grace. Matnas Chinam, Hashem, do me a favor. Please do me a favor. Show me kindness, favor. It's a hard word to translate. Yosef was Moli Chain. There are certain people that have Chain, they have charm.
Esther was Moli
Esther.
Esther Malka, she found chain in the eyes of all who saw her. So here, yeah.
A certain indefinable quality.
Indefinable.
The French,
which makes
I
you.
I said this once and everybody just looked at me. A certain je ne sais quoi.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Which means.
Je ne sais quoi?
Means ich weiß nicht.
Ich weiß nicht. You don't know. Something that you cannot identify. You like a person and you can't explain why. Chain is, I like you. Why? Put down on a piece of paper in words, why I like you. I can't. I don't, I'm not able to capture what it is in words. It's just a
unknown
feeling.
Quality, unknown
quality which draws me to you. That's called chain. That's one translation of the word chayim.
No.
But what really, if you think about it, go deep down into the world of psychology, what really is it about that indefinable quality that you like about another person? You know what it really is? Uniqueness. There's something unique about you. Now, what is unique about you? That I cannot define. But the fact is that you, in my eyes, personally, everyone is different. Everyone has trained for different things. This is one of a kind. That, when something is one of a kind, it's part of the human condition that stands out. If you have a food, your favorite food, this is one of a kind. It's unique. It's unique. What a person likes, something that is unique. It'll be a very boring world if everyone drove the same car, the same color, everyone lived in the same house, everyone wore the same exact clothing. A person likes to express it, be unique. You know, by the Hasidim, people think, oh, they're all the same. You know, they're all the same. Oh, everything is the same, they all dress the same exact. It's not true. You know, where it comes at? Everyone has a need to be unique. You know where it comes at in the Hasidim? And in the Hasidim, in the accessories, the glasses. Some of them, especially the young kids, they're very big into glasses. They're very big into shoes. They're very big into thing, the parts of their attire that
accessories
where they can sit. I remember someone once told me, a girl once told me that, you know, in yeshivas, it used to be you could come dressed however you want. You know, everyone come dressed to a fashion show. Come every day to school, every girl could dress her, and then it got out of hand because, you know, the cost is astronomical. All the girls every day like the competition. So, uniforms. No more all the girls wear uniforms. So this girl said to me, oh, you think that solves the problem? That makes it even worse. Why? So now
they gotta figure out some way to
the
be
coats, the right. Scarves, the handbags, the accessories, the jewelry. It's right, all the girls wear the same exact uniform that they get from the school. But the accessories, look at her shoes, look at her pin in her hair, look at her earrings, look at this, look at that. A person has to be able one way or another make himself unique. The Hasidim, you got it, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't know this. I would never, someone said, they're really into the glasses. Like, I couldn't care less. I like to go buy for $100 four pairs of glasses. Because every day I lose my glasses. I can't find in the morning. I really don't know where. So I don't know, you have four. You buy the biggest piece of garbage you can find. I don't care. But the Hasidim, they really care. You know why? Because everything else is the same. They wear the same jacket, the same pair of pants, the same hat. How do I stand out? My glasses. My glasses. My shoes. It's going to come out. It's the human condition. You have to go and find for yourself something unique, something special.
Individuality.
This pasuk hits it on the head. Three nuns. Three is the chazaka. Three always represents v'achut ha-mishul shloim b'meiri yinotek. Three, the letter nun connotes uniqueness, alone, individuality, because the letter nun has no peer. It's all alone. It's the letter. That's why by Hebrew it's all alone. Chayim, what is chayim? The essence of chayim is you're unique. There's something special, something different. And the nun, now, Rav Kalman was saying something very important. You have the word over here, you notice there's no dots. This does not have the heksher of the Department of Transportation. Okay? There's no, this is the badats. It's not have the badats. There's no dot in the letter nun. It's ches, nun, 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 yud, no dots in the letter itself.
Instead of a dot, you have two nuns.
Why? It's a grammar lesson. We say in tachanun, in Mizmar, going back to Mizmar Vav. I am, there are many translations, I am circumcised. Okay, let's go back to Mizmar Vav. Let me turn to the right page. Choneini Hashem, the beginning of the Mizmar. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, page 44. Choneini Hashem, ki umlal. Favor me, Hashem, on page 7, page 44, 44 to 46. Favor me, Hashem, ki umlal, I have a bris milah, I am circumcised. That's one page. There are many perushim, what this means over here. But the fact that I'm a bris milah, David's saying, I'm a bris milah, that's enough. Hashem, I'm part of the tribe. I'm a member of the tribe, and that itself gives me rights, membership rights. Look at how it's, look at the word chaneni. There's a dot in the nun. Why is there a dot in the nun on Pasuk page 44 and there's no dots? There's no dots on page 7 and page 78. The answer is, whenever you have a dot in the word, it's as if the word, the letter, any letter that is repeated twice.
A missing letter.
It's a missing,
the shoresh is chet nun nun. The shoresh is
chet
nun nun, chanon.
Okay, two nuns, ches nun nun.
Yeah, so when the second nun is missing,
you put a dot. And it also has an afkamin in the pronunciation. Okay, we're not so makbar on the pronunciation today, but the real way you pronounce, when you have a dot in the word, like in this case, look at the case of choneni. Choneni Hashem, the real way to pronounce the word is, the nun, you basically repeat the nun twice. You repeat it, but and it all depends. Here, it's first used as a shvon noch, and then it's repeated as a shvon noch. So it'll be chon, chon-ne. Then you have to go very quick. You have to be very clever with your tongue. Most people can't do this, including me. But you have to basically say the nun twice without pausing. Chon, so it's ches nun. You do cho, pause. Cho, okay. Ches, have a nice day. Now we go to Neni. No. The ches and the nun may not be separated. Chon. And then you immediately, without pause, you do a shvano. Chon-ne neni.
Which are you on? 44?
Page 44. You see in 44 there's a dan and the nun? The dan and the nun really means there are two nuns. So really, there are three nuns. Every time you say Tachman, you're really saying it's really the word has
maybe
three nuns.
44 is Chon-neini. It's not Chon-neini.
How could it be Chon-neini?
It connects the Ches and the Nun, like you say.
And then it's a Shvano. Then the Tzerei, it's as if there are two nuns. What would have been, put like this, just to put another nun inside the word.
And put a Shvano.
Make believe the word choneni has three nuns, and the second nun has two vertical dots. How would you pronounce the word?
Choneni.
No.
It's
a shvanoch. It's a shvanoch, not a shvanoch. The shvanoch. Choneni. Now, in other words, don't pause, because if you pause, choneni, don't pause. Don't pause. Don't do choneni, because if you pause, you left out a whole nun. Make believe this word has two nuns, and the first nun has a shva noch. Chon, chon, neni. Chon, neni.
Chon, neni.
Okay, that's you.
It's not a nun, it's not nun.
Chon, make believe this word has another nun, and the first nun has two vertical dots. How would you read the word? Chon neni. Right? Chon. In other words, don't pause after the letter ches. The letter ches is meant to be read together with the nun, and that segues, that nun has to segue from a shvonoch to a tsere. It's very hard to do properly. And many people can't do it, and that's why we're not makbid on these things. Most people, you're not going to drive someone crazy about this in the Torah, okay? No one's going to stop you for Kriyas HaTorah for this, but there's a real way to do it, and Rav Kalman is saying something very important, that don't be impressed that this is the only time you find the word of chen with three nuns. The truth is, every single day when you say tachnun and you say the word choneni Hashem ki umlal oni, you're really saying the same word with three nuns. Because here there's a dot, and where there's a dot, it means the letter in the rules of grammar, it's as if it was repeated a second time in certain contexts, like this. And it's a shvanoch.
In Parash above, the Otzro touches it favor me.
Right.
Yes, it has had mercy on me.
From the that's not a raya from the art school translation. That's not a raya. It depends on the context.
In this case,
OK? Okay.
In our case here, it's two meaning. Number one, Tzochen, and number two, Ani Mitchanen. So he wanted to say two meanings for the same word. זה כמו ואתחנן, אני מתחנן בפניך, חונני, שתיתן לי חן, שתמצא חן בעיניך. So that's why he put, as if two words here.
Okay. Rachamim and chen. Okay.
How can you say that dagesh and nun could be a dagesh cow? Dagesh cow doesn't come in a nun.
Not in this case.
In this, no, that's why, not in the, this is the exception. Grammar, there's always an exception, and there's an exception to the exception, and an exception to the exception's exception. That's why Hebrew grammar is impossible to learn, because if you were a teacher of grammar and someone would give you the copy of the Torah, you would give them an F. Because the amount of grammar mistakes is but that's part of the Mamore Chazal. Of the deeper meaning. All right, stop with a short break. It's very, very late. Then we can learn about Shoivavim. Shoivavim. Shoivavim / Shoivavim. Few people ask me about this. So we're going to talk about this topic when we come back.
You want to make your million in the temple by a pound tomorrow?
No, I don't.
I want to show you. I have a theme on this.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
It's
a Schultz copy? Okay. Okay. I'll put it back. Thank you very much. Okay.
By the way, I look around, you know, researching it, as I think you. The Rashbam is the only one who says wolves.
What?
Remember yesterday what you said about the wild animals? By the way, some say
the wolf. Yeah.
Wolves, yeah.
Wolves.
Only the Rashbam, nobody else.
Okay, it's a chiddush. The Erev, the Eve Erev. The only one, okay?
How many people there, friend?
About 10.